Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. Just a matter of note to y'all. I know you probably don't notice, but back there they are filming the service. not so much the song service, just the preaching. And it goes on, well, I'm going to ask Otis and Joe because they're the ones, the architect of this stuff. It goes on Facebook, is that right? And anybody that goes on Facebook can watch it. They can watch it live. So tell everybody hi, you know. How you doing? They can watch it live or they can go later on and watch it. Is that right? And I know Terry has told me that he's watched it. Did you watch it live or you did? And it was good? Okay, if it's good, thank you. If it's not,
it was good.
It's good. Everybody takes yourself. That's okay. That's okay. We love Bobby. Thank God. We love having him here. But they are the architects. They've done it. And so I appreciate them doing that. Because really, if they were relying upon me, it would not be done. Because I just don't know. And so what we do, we tell Joe and Joe takes care of it. You know, thank God. So I just want to let you know that people are watching you. So, you know, make sure you're on your best behavior. You know, like when people are coming to visit your home, you have to talk to your kids, you know, and tell them, look, you know, on your best behavior, make sure you're eating right and doing things right.
Don't ask them for nothing.
And don't ask them for nothing to eat. Amen. Amen. That's right. You got them in line, huh? Amen. But, you know, we don't realize it's touching many people's lives, people. And it really has done something in me to know that people are watching, you know. And praise God, the life of the gospel is going into their hearts and lives. Just a matter of note, January is, they call it, Life Month or whatever. It's life. You know, where they celebrate, you know, life. And I know a few days ago they had March for Life in Washington. And so, you know, we need to continue to pray that abortion would be done away with in our country. You know, it's not just the poor or the whatever. I mean, their abortion is happening continuously in our country. And so we need to continue to pray that would be eliminated, because life is important from the time of conception with God to the time we close our eyes when we die, when we're of old age. Every person is important, and so we need to celebrate life and what God has given unto us. And, you know, I'm so encouraged, if you have watched the news lately, with January being the month of life or whatever they call it, that even our vice president went to the March for Life. And they said that's unprecedented because that has not happened as far as we know of. But our vice president, being pro-life like he is, went and stood there and talked to the people and took a stance for life. Because life is so important, and we need to lift that up to the best of our ability. We know we have the Supreme Court coming up. Our president is going to be nominating someone, and from what I understood, he's going to keep his promise like he's been keeping his promises for the last week in what he would do, that he will give us a judge that will hopefully sway the tide and put it in the right direction of life. So as you would, let's pray for our government as we do. Father, we come before you. And Lord God, we lift up our president and Donald Trump and all his men and women that he has with him. Father, we pray protection first of all, spiritually and physically upon their lives, Lord God. Father, we pray protection over them, that you will help them. You will give them wisdom. You will show them what to do and how to help our country, Lord God. Father, we thank you that you have placed him in that position, Lord God, and help him to keep his promises, Lord God. And Father, draw him unto you this day, Father. We give you praise and honor and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says to pray for those that are in authority over you. So we need to pray for our government officials. Pray for them. Let's take our Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today. As this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sanctity of Life Month, that's what it is. I'm sorry, I couldn't remember it. If you would, I want you to turn to Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. When God brought the children of Israel out of the land of bondage, out of the land of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea, and they had, you know, they were celebrating what God had done, as because they went, they walked on dry ground to the other side. What a miracle, people! What a miracle! And let me tell you, God is still in the midst of miracles. There isn't anything too hard that God cannot do if we will just believe him. You know, we wonder why, you know, we say, Lord, we come before the Lord, and we wonder why, Lord, I keep knocking. I keep knocking about a certain situation, whatever it is. Could be about loved ones, could be whatever. And why isn't, you know, something happening? Well, sometimes God will keep us in there so that we keep going before him continuously. That our faith stays in him. And one day he will answer, if it's according to his will, the what we're petitioning him for. The miracle will come because we serve a miracle working God. And you know what? Usually we never know when it's going to happen. We just believe God. Let me tell you, they didn't realize what God would do. The miracle of bringing them out of the bondage of Egypt and them coming out rich like they were, to get to a place where there's, we know, mountains on this either side, Pharaoh's army in the back, and they look to this Red Sea, and God says, cross it. Now, man would have said, let's turn around. Can't really go over the mountains. We have a lot of young people, old people, cattle and all that. We can't cross the Red Sea. That's water. We're going to drown. Let's turn around and fight them. And Lord, give us the battle. But you see, how God does things is not necessarily how man will do things. And so that's why we have to have the mind of Christ. That's why in reading God's word and getting it and instilling into our hearts, we become like Christ. We start to think like him, like what he wants us to think. And they looked at that Red Sea, and God told Moses, point it. And he pointed that rod, and that sea opened up, people. And they walked over on dry ground. My God, people, that's a miracle. A miracle. And they got to the other side, and they took the tambourines out, the women, and they started worshiping God, thanking him for all he had done. They got to the other side, and God had promised them a promised land. And so here they set out spies to go and spy out the land. And two guys went. Well, there was more than two. There was a bunch of guys. There was 12 or so. But two of them, named Joshua and Caleb, went. And they looked at that land. And they came back with a good report. Look at this. Let's read it. It says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them who searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spoke unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search is, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." Now I want you to turn to Numbers 13, which is right before that, and look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. You have it up? Yeah, okay, good. "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once, possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, we know the end of the story, well, the end of this generation. Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report, and they were trying to help the people, saying, Let's go get the land. Let's go in it. But the other 10 came back and they had a negative report, saying, No, we can't go in. They are as, like the song says, they are as giants, and we are as what? Grasshoppers. I never liked that song. I hated it. But, you know, we sang it because they were singing it, you know. I just didn't like it. I didn't like the, but I mean, that's okay. But they are as giants. That doesn't mean they are giants. And we are as grasshoppers. That doesn't mean God's people are. But here we had two guys saying, look, after the other guys went, they said, we can't do it. We can't go into that land. We can't possess it. There's no way possible. These two guys said, yes, we can. When God says something, people, you can do it. It may look like it can't be done, but when God says it and puts it before you, it could be something minor in your life. It could be something major in your life. It could be major in your family or minor in your family. However, whatever it is. But when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and he tells you something, it can be done. It can be possessed because the Holy Spirit says so. And we cannot hold back from saying, no, I can't. I can't do that, Lord. Now, you might say, well, you know, Joe, you know, every time God speaks to you, I mean, do you run to? No, sometimes you have a reservation about certain things. You kind of hold back maybe a little bit. And you're saying, Lord, help me. There's a difference. There is a difference between saying no to God and saying, Lord, help me to say yes with all my heart. There's a difference. And so we got to be at the place where we say, Lord, help me to say yes. Help me to deliver on what you want me to do. These two guys knew that God had called the children of Israel to take that land right then and there, to go in. And yes, there were walled cities. Yes, there were things in that land that God had said was theirs that they had to go and conquer. But God would go before them. One thing they said was, in the scripture that I read, was that their defenses had been drawn down or eliminated. That means the thing that protected them from the outside forces that would try to come and conquer them had been eliminated. Somehow, some way. That all these people, all these cities, everywhere in that territory had been given to God's people, and all they had to do was walk in. People, when God gives us something, all we have to do is realize that God has already prepared that place, God has already taken care of it, and God is working on our behalf. And all we have to do is walk in to the promises that God has given us. walk into the things that he tells us to do and possess it. It's an amazing thing that God relies upon people to possess the land, to possess what needs to be taken care of. He goes and takes care of things, yes, working for us physically and even spiritually. But God holds us saying, go and get it. Go and get it. And these two guys stood up. You know how hard it was when the children of Israel were all there and all these other guys were saying, there's no way possible. It's not good. Because here, you know, this man is relying upon the spies that had gone out. Gone out. And these two say, we can do it. How are we looking at life in 2017? How are we looking at it? Or we're saying, you know, the world is too crazy. We can't do anything more for God. Might as well sit down and do nothing. No. God says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to reach every soul that you can reach like never before. What is God saying to us as a church to go forth? Every church has been commissioned by God. Number one, not to have the latest music, which is okay. Not to have the latest technology, which is okay. Not to have the latest, you know, decorations. And there's nothing wrong with all that stuff. But the greatest thing in the church as a whole is to reach people for the kingdom of God. To reach souls for the kingdom of God. And letting people rise up and take their position in the kingdom of God. To preach the word. To preach the gospel. Every time you see somebody, preach the gospel if you can. If the door opens up, just share Jesus. Share what God has done for you. You might say, well, I'm nothing. Look, let me tell you, you're something in the kingdom of God. You are a child of the living God. Now, we're not high and mighty over anybody. Oh, no. But in the kingdom of God, God has says we are sons and daughters of the King. And we take that position saying, Lord, thank you. By the blood of Jesus, you have redeemed us. By the blood of Jesus that we sang about, you have set us free. By the blood of Jesus, you have given us life and freedom. Through the blood. When the church loses the cross or moves away from the cross, it has moved from the simplicity of the gospel. It should be the cross, it should be the blood, and it should be reaching out to unsaved people like we never have done before. Yes. You might say, well, Caleb and Joshua, they weren't scared to go in that land. Well, I'm sure they had some reservation. But God had done a work in these two guys, and they knew, let's take it. Even though God puts things upon your hearts to do, doesn't mean your knees won't be shaken. It doesn't mean the insides won't be. Doesn't mean any of that. It just means that you have confidence in your God, saying, Lord, you'll take care of it. You'll take care of it. Father, you'll take care of it. And let me tell you, as we trust in Him, He takes care of those things. He takes care of the things that are happening in our churches, in our lives, in our families. He takes care of those things. Jacob, Joshua, and Caleb didn't want to wait. And we know the scenario of the story, that the children of Israel basically believed, if you want to say unbelievers, and they did not take the land. They did not take the land. You know what's the amazing thing is? When Moses died, who took his place? Joshua. Was Joshua one of the ones? And Caleb, which I'm going to be talking about a little bit here. Caleb, went into the promised land too. See, as long as we believe God, God will bless people. Amen. Believe Him. Don't believe what the world says. Don't believe all that stuff. Believe Him and what He says in His Word. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Andrew, put that scriptures up. It says this, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, to the children of Israel." Here God chose Joshua. With God, every decision we make plays in a very important role with Him. Now you might say, well, Pastor, I made some bad decisions. That's right, we all have. And God forgives us, huh? But Joshua and Caleb didn't want to stay and wait till a generation had died. They wanted to go in. And God looked at these two men, and when Moses passed away, He took one of them and made the leader of the children of Israel. My God, that says something with us, that God looks at the faith of His people. God looks at the faith of His people. Faith to believe God. To believe God. To believe God. To believe Him, no matter what's happening in the world, no matter what's happening even in us. Because sometimes we're our worst critics, you know. But God is looking for people that just will believe Him. And believing builds faith in God's people, and God moves. What moves God is belief in Him and believing that what He said He would do, He will do. It says in Scripture that with God, all things are possible. If it's according to His will. And as we believe God to save our families, as we believe God to change circumstances, as we believe God to draw people in to the kingdom of God and break the chains of darkness upon people's lives, that God, the Holy Spirit, moves. We don't serve and you don't serve a dead God. He's alive and well, as we sang that song, the blood. He's alive and well. He's alive and well. And He's moving. He's moving upon your life. He's moving in your families. Don't let the devil tell you nothing's happening. Because when he tells you nothing's happening, that means he sees what God is doing. And let me tell you, we just rest assured and we keep praying and we keep believing and we keep seeing what God can do. Breaking the chains of bondage upon people's minds and hearts. Yes. It's a spiritual battle, people. Yes. We cannot face spiritual battles in a physical ailment way. We got to do it spiritually, praying and seeking God and breaking the chains of bondage off of their lives and seeing the power of God, the power of darkness. This is our families, all of us, okay? Or whoever. They're going to probably say, oh, Lord. This is our family, the darkness, people. Because He's blinded their eyes from the truth of the gospel. That Jesus is the only way. Only way. Not just one way, the only way. But when the church, starts to pray, the darkness comes off of the people. Got it. And God's power comes in. And buddy, that's when the power of God moves. And what happens sometimes, people are praying and the power of God's moving, and the people become laxed in praying. And all of a sudden, look what happens. Hey, the enemy is only 2 feet away. ready to bring destruction, ready to bring destruction upon families, ready, trying to bring divorce in families' lives between the spouses, trying to bring division. But I tell you what, when the power of God comes, what God can do in 1 second, no psychologist can do in 20 years, let me tell you. The power of God that can bring healing to a couple, that can bring forgiveness to a couple, that can bring help to a couple, that can bring heal the minds and the hearts of the of men and women. That's the power of our God. That can remove the darkness and bring in His power. And as the church prays, the power of God moves. Let me tell you, that's just our families. Let me tell you, that has happened to our country, people. Yes. We've been in darkness for so long. Spiritual darkness, because we have let it happen.
Yes.
Let's face it.
Amen.
And let me tell you, we saw we couldn't keep going in the same direction. And people, the church started to pray and saying, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us. Help us. And let me tell you, you may not believe it, but I do, that God has put our president in office. Amen. And if God has put him in there and we believe it, because he's done more in 7 days, eight, nine now, Sonny, than most of them have done in years. We've never seen a man, a president, that has kept his word. That's unusual for us now. That's a shame. Keeping his word and getting work done. We need to pray. Amen. Amen. We need to continue to pray. Because the enemy will try to bring destruction. But we continue to pray and come against people that try to kill him and do all kinds of stuff, man. He might need quite a few cupbearers there to try food before he eats. But I tell you what, Joshua and Caleb, God used. And look what God did. And God used Joshua to bring the children of Israel into the promised land. Into the promised land. I want you to turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 14. Start with verse 10, please. Well, I'll just start reading at verse 9, okay? It says, and Moses swore in that day, saying, surely the land wherein your feet have trodden shall be your inheritance and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Talking about Caleb. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, and he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spoke this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I'm going to stop right there. This is Caleb he's talking about, okay? Remember, Caleb was 45 years old when the children of Israel decided not to go into the promised land. Now he's 85. God has kept him alive. God has kept him alive. And it says, and yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. So here he's saying, he's as strong as he, 85, he's as strong as he was when he was 45. Lord, give us that strength. Huh? Yeah. Lord, give us that. Hey, look, we can have supernatural strength by the Holy Spirit to get the job done. We should not, just because I know this, we live in these bodies. But let me tell you, God can take the old and make them young in their bodies. If God can take a man that's 100 years old and a lady that's 90 years old and let them have a child, that's amazing. That's a miracle. And to carry that child That's a miracle. In the hands of God, nothing is limited with him.
Amen.
This man, 85 years old now, feels like he's 45. People, God can give you the strength to do his will. God can give you the supernatural strength in your minds and in your bodies. Don't think as the world thinks when you reach a certain age that you have to stop everything and that's it. And you go into a nursing home or wherever you want to go and you stop. No, no, not with God. Not with God. That God can supernaturally give you the strength to get his work done upon the earth no matter what. Look at this. And yet, verse 11, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how the Anakims were there, that's people, and that the cities were great and fenced. Even so be the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Nephtuah Hebron for an inheritance. Look down. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Nephtuah and the rest. And because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. That's the reason. Now here we see God gave him, and I want to read this. The record proclaims, now this is not part of the Bible, this is just a comment, that Caleb, because of his faith in God, took possession of this mountain and expelled the greatest of the giants, whose name was Ebro. The result was that the city of Ebro became Hebron, that is the fellowship, and that's what Hebron means. So here we see Joshua gave Caleb a mountain, which they had giants in. People, look at our military. We don't send 85-year-olds to do the fighting, huh?
No.
No. We send our young men and some young women, however they want to do. 85 years old. Number one, Joshua and Caleb. Joshua became commander-in-chief. Number two, Caleb said, I want that mountain. 85 years old. He had strength like he was 45, people. And you know what? Because he wanted that mountain and it was full of giants fenced in. I mean, they had their borders. They had everything there. Joshua looked at Caleb and he blessed him and prayed with him and said, go get him. And look, Caleb went out there at 85 years of age and possessed the land, people. He had that same drive that he had at 45, he had at 85, and the same strength by the Holy Ghost, and took that land for the kingdom of God, people. And let me tell you, your prayers, as you pray, elderly women and men, as you pray and seek God, God moves things. Don't feel just because you're at home, you may not be working anymore, but God has a work for you to do, and that prayer is taking work in the hearts and lives of people around this area. And as you pray and you seek God, it tears down the giants that are holding people back from possessing and becoming like God wants them to be. People, God knows what he's doing. And God knows what it takes to possess the land. And there's nothing too difficult that God cannot do in your hearts and lives, people. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Zero. If he can take a man that's 85 and let him conquer a mountain. My God. My God. My God. What can he do in us? What can he do in us? People, he sees so much potential in us. You might say, Pastor, I'm too old. No, 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 no. If you're still breathing, God can still use you. In the kingdom of God, there's no retirement. There's always a work to be done. There's always prayers to be prayed. There's always a battle to be won. There's always someone that needs encouragement. You know, we have elderly people. Let me tell you this. There's a lot of young people that need to know what God has done in your life and how you have persisted and stayed firm in the kingdom of God and never gave up. They need to see your persistence. They need to see how you have given your heart to the Lord at a young age and how God has moved and changed things in your life. How you can encourage people and help. Joshua and Caleb didn't give up. People, don't give up. Don't give up. The devil will say, oh, nothing's happening. Oh, your kids are worse than ever before. And probably physically, you might see them worse as ever before. But that's okay. You Lord, what do you see? And he sees great men and women of God. He sees them serving him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so what you do and what I do, we agree with God. And we go to God and we say, Father, thank you. If Joshua can do it and Caleb can do it, we can do it. We can take the land. And when we say take the land, that means taking people for the kingdom of God. Taking people. I know then it was a physical land, but to us it's people. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for these people. Father, draw them in. Take the scales off of their eyes that they could see. Look, don't give up. Don't give up. It's not a year of giving up. It's a year of pressing in. Amen. Amen. So be it. It's a year of pressing in and never giving up. Saying, I don't care what comes my way. I don't care what bad news I hear. I'm going to keep my faith and trust in Christ because I know he's the author and finisher of my faith. And he goes before me and he makes the crooked places straight for me. He takes care of all those things in my life. He's a God that takes care of me. He's a God that goes before me. His blood has been shed for me. Thank you, Lord. I accept what you've done. I put my faith in you and you alone. Praise God. And no matter what happens, I will serve you, Lord God Almighty. And I will be stronger at the end of this year than ever before in God. Can you imagine next year, 2018? Oh my God. Where you're seated right now, you could have your children sitting next to you. Or your spouse. Or even some maybe grandparents, or aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters. And even maybe a little further down might be an enemy of yours. So what? Or once was an enemy. Praise because of your praying, people. Not because of anything we've done to try to woo them in with all kinds of junk. But by the praying of the faithfulness of God's people and the Spirit of God moving and the Spirit of God taking care of things. That's a miracle. You never know. So we keep our faith and trust in him as Joshua and Caleb did. You know, I often thought, and I'm going to be closing in a minute, I wonder how Joshua and Caleb felt when they stood there with all the unbelievers, if you want to say that, heathen down the road, and they knew they weren't going in. I bet you their heart cringed because they knew what God could do. But God was faithful to them. God was faithful. And let me tell you, because of your faith in Christ and what he's done in your heart and life and mine, he will be faithful to us. Faithful to the end. Faithful to the end. Praise God. You may stand, please, if you would. Jesus. Oh, Father, we give you praise and honor and thanks, Lord.